Here's what to expect on today's episode of the Fairy Fills Podcast. Enjoy!
He created us with a divine purpose, and he knows exactly where on this planet that my future husband and that your future husband are lost, mm-hmm. riding on their respective turtles. I know, maybe one of them's riding on a corgi and it's got zoomies.
Maybe they're riding together. You think that? Maybe they're just like out there roaming.
They won't stop for directions because they're men.
Of course not.
This is your co-captain, Manda, speaking.
And your co-captain, Pamela.
And we would like to welcome you all to Fairy Fails Flight 721. Looks like we are due for some sound waves today, so buckle up and enjoy the in-flight entertainment.
Welcome aboard.
Well, for today's game that we're playing, it is a questions game.
Okay.
Number one. You only get three words to describe yourself. What are they?
Kind, funny, and understanding. How's that?
Okay.
How about you?
Nerdy, also funny. Smart.
Ooh, those are good ones. I would agree. Okay, so...
I just hate calling myself smart.
I don't think anybody really likes to call themselves smart, even if they are very smart.
Conceited people do.
Yeah. But you are not that. Is not a word I would use to describe you at all. Okay. What's something everyone else loves that you secretly find overrated and why?
Celebrities.
Okay.
Can I say that? I just think like they're human beings like the rest of us.
Right.
And we literally spend so much of our time watching and reading about and looking up and doing things surrounding celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
We pay people to be famous.
Well, my answer, I had two. Taylor Swift and The Notebook. And Taylor Swift because... Taylor Swift. I just don't see why people like her so much. I liked her at one point a little bit, and then I fell off that bandwagon real quick.
Mm-hmm.
I only know a couple of songs of hers. Very, very few. But not a fan. Like, she's an okay person, I guess, maybe. But then when you talk about The Notebook... Completely overrated. It's not even a good movie. It's long, drawn out, boring. I fall asleep every time. The only good part is the end, and I cry, and that ain't cool. So, bye-bye, Notebook.
Would you rather have a home on the beach or in the mountains?
On the beach. Then again, actually neither of those, because I would probably rather be in the woods somewhere.
Well, see, I would pick the mountains. I can visit the beach, but the mountains call me like the ocean calls Moana. I want to be in a valley nestled between a whole bunch of mountains so that, like, everywhere I look is just, like, mountain ranges.
I can handle that. I could definitely handle that. I've always wanted to live in a cabin in the woods somewhere. So if there are mountains on either side of me, I'm good. I mean, you know me and mountains. Love mountains. Don't like climbing mountains, but I love mountains. Okay, what kind of things really make you laugh?
Clever humor.
That's a good one. So, do you have an example?
Like, so my cousin-in-law, he has a very dry sense of humor and is very similar to mine.
Mm-hmm.
Where his humor is very ironic. And I couldn't make a joke right now. But very, very few people in the family, right at first, understood his jokes and stuff, except for me. So, he and I kind of, sort of... micro-bonded a little bit because he would make a joke or something and I'd get it and I'd start laughing and he's like, yeah.
I think there was a time when I met him that I told you, I get it. I was like, I totally get what you mean because our sense of humor is quite the same, pretty much. And so it's very, I meshed not, well with him.
Maybe dry is not the right term. Our humor is very ironic. Like, very... A matter of fact. I don't know how to describe it. It's not like dumb dad jokes or...
Oh, yeah, I can't.
stupid slapstick like the stuff that they portray in films and TV and comedy clubs and stuff now.
Yeah, it has to be intelligent humor.
Yeah. I mean, crap. I will post videos and stuff on, or not videos, but I'll post memes and stuff of math jokes on my Instagram.
There are some things that I find really funny that I go to send you and you've already posted them because it's from you. And I'm like, oh, makes sense. Makes a lot of sense.
You did that yesterday.
I did do that yesterday. I was like, oh, just kidding. You already posted this. I would say the same. Makes me laugh if somebody is very witty. Wit can get me to laugh faster than anything. So I try to keep up with wit. I'm not as good at it anymore because my brain's just on slow mode lately. But at one point, I had to be on my toes with most of the people that I hung around with because most of them would just hit you when you didn't expect it.
If you could jump into a pool full of anything, what would it be?
Do you have an answer for this one while I think?
Since I was a kid, I always kind of wanted to go swimming in a pool of gold coins like Scrooge McDuck.
Ooh.
Just to, like, you know, make gold money angels.
That could also kind of be painful, it sounds like.
Well, I wouldn't dive into it like Scrooge did. I'd just, like, go down into it real easy and then, like, cover myself with all of the gold.
I would say probably, like, whipped cream or shaving cream or Orbeez
could be fun.
Yeah, I think it could be too. Took me a minute to think of something, but those two things sound very fun. I was gonna say sand, but then I thought quicksand. No thanks.
Yeah, no, that would be
that'd be a no.
And then you'd have sand in all kinds of orifices if it was an actual dry sand.
Another thing, I saw recently a meme that said, I thought quicksand would be a bigger problem than it actually is. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, I 100% thought I was going to run into quicksand everywhere I went because they portrayed it on most things when we were kids. What's the weirdest nickname you've ever had?
I don't know that I've ever had a nickname like that.
Really? I've had a couple. The weirdest one I've ever had in my whole life is Peaches or Pancake. That's another weird one.
Somebody called me Mandy one time.
I remember you hating that very much.
Manny called me Miss Arkansas.
Oh. No, that's not a good one at all.
I did not like that. And it was kind of weird, like, why are you going to say Arkansas like that?
I mean, it's kind of a rude nickname-ish.
If your life was a movie, what would it be called?
Oops. It's kind of how my life's been going lately. Well, my whole life, actually. I was an oops. I've done some oopsies, and I've had some oopsies lately, so. Ooh, how about oops, I did it again. Not the Britney story. That had to be at the end. Not the Britney story.
I don't know. Something that I say a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It could be called, I mean.
Dot, dot, dot.
Yeah. That's what we're going with.
Okay, that works. I say that a lot myself. One last one. What's your favorite item of clothing?
Currently?
Mm-hmm.
My favorite item of clothing, I got a 7-pack of these, like, buttery soft leggings from Amazon.
Yeah.
$40, $30, something like that. They're cheap. They're on sale. And they are amazing. They're so comfy. They feel like you don't have anything on at all, which is concerned because I've gone to go outside before and I had to look down and make sure I had on pants. But they're so soft. So
soft.
I
need to get me some of those because I have slimmed down out of every bit of my leggings And the ones that I do have left fall off my bum. So I would feel like I didn't have anything on either, because I wouldn't if I walked in them too far.
But yeah, and like these, such a good deal because it's 7 pairs of them. And they're all different colors. It's like a black pair, gray pair, navy, a maroon color, kind of a mauve.
Mm.
I can't remember all the colors that were in there.
Hmm. Well, I need to get me some of those.
They worked out to be just a little over like $4 a piece, somewhere in there.
It's not too bad. So I have a tie between my two favorite articles of clothing. And it's probably my green dress. I have a picture of me in the green dress. I really love that dress. But it's getting to be a little bit too big. And then I bought some socks, some Puma socks from TJ Maxx that are for walking, and they're very cozy. They have cushions on the bottom. Mm. And they're good for walking. But those are some of my favorite.
I also have a sweater that my sister got me ages and ages and ages and ages and ages ago, like in 2016 or 17. And it's my favorite sweater. I love that sweater. I will wear I have all kinds of sweaters, and I will pick that one out of the closet to wear 75% of the time.
I have changed my answer once again. It is my hoodie from the Boathouse, my yellow hoodie. First of all, favorite color, yellow. Second, buttery soft. Third, cozy. Just very cozy. We'll pick that hoodie over all of them.
I also have a hoodie my uncle got at, it's a distillery in Durango, Colorado.
Oh.
And I love it. It's like this kind of a slick material. It's very warm, though. It's fleece on the inside. But it's got this cool little teeny-weeny little, like, card pocket on the inside of the hoodie pocket. So I can, like, put my stuff into my hoodie and not have to carry my wallet.
Yeah, there's nothing special about this hoodie. It's just comfy.
This one is also comfy.
And if anybody were to ever dry it in the dryer, I would throw hands, because it's so soft on the inside. And if you dry hoodies, you know how they just kind of ball up on the inside. This one is still very buttery soft on the inside because nobody has dried it, and I refuse to let anybody dry it, including myself. My mother has tried to dry it, and I'm like, no, you may not dry the hoodie. She doesn't get my need to hang up my clothes when they are wet. First of all, it shrinks them. Second of all, it makes them dull. I needed to tell you that I have found the love of my life, my future husband, and my soulmate.
Do tell.
So, it's my neurologist. His last name is Lamb. And he said that he'd like to see me in person, if at all possible, that would be good for him. And thus the love story began.
So I already see red flags with this new man.
Okay.
Well, A, he's your doctor. And B,
that doesn't mean anything.
You cannot marry somebody whose last name is Lamb.
Do tell me why.
Because then your name would be Pamela Lamb. Bam Lamb Ding Dong. And I would call you that every single day of your life.
What is that even from?
I don't know.
I think it's from like the Office, maybe?
No, I think it's from a song from the 50s.
We'll have to look it up.
I think it like.
But I could live with that.
A song named Ram-a-lam-a-ding-dong or something.
Oh, that's true. Well, I could live with that. That would be fine. He could just take my last name. How about that?
I don't know how much he would be okay with that, because getting your name changed on your doctorate is a little hard.
Is it?
Very. My eye doctor is currently going through that problem. She got married and she's no longer Dr. Brown. Now she's Dr. something else. But it's like a lot of red tape to get her name changed on her doctorate.
That must have been why the lady that I worked for back in like 2012, remember when I nannied for that doctor?
Mm-hmm.
She did not change her name. Her last name stayed some weird, crazy name. and she got married to like a brown or something and she was gonna change it and then never did. So I wonder if that's why, because there's too much red tape to go through.
Probably, especially like if you're a doctor.
She was a doctor. I had to think about it for a second.
Because, like, I don't know, like, you wouldn't necessarily need to get your doctorate if you just had, like, a PhD in volcanology or something. You wouldn't necessarily need to get that changed, but...
She was an actual physician.
Yeah. That's why a lot of doctors hyphenate.
That's a good idea. I should notate here and put a disclaimer in that he is married.
Well, it was a joke anyway, just because you thought he was pretty.
He was very pretty. He popped on that virtual appointment, and I was like, hello, husband. And I searched him out, and I was like, oh, man, he's married. He's very married. So that didn't go over so well.
Well, we wish her luck.
Oh, she doesn't need luck. He is really, really cute and Christian and seems like a very nice human.
He's also a neurologist.
Hey, neurologists are smart people.
I know, but they're also very busy people.
He seems to work a regular 9-to-5, though.
Of course, it depends on whether he's a neurologist and a surgeon.
I don't believe he's a surgeon. He's just neurology. Speaking of loves of my life and soulmates... So I told you all about a date that I was going to have last week. Well, right after we stopped recording.
Five minutes.
No, what happened was while I'm telling y'all that I'm getting ready to go on this date, he's texting me and I had my phone on airplane mode so it didn't mess up the recording. And I turn airplane mode off and boom, 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 boom. I get messages coming in and he canceled the date on me. This is normal for him. This is extremely normal. I think I even mentioned that last week that it's normal for him to cancel on dates. It's normal for him to just ghost out of nowhere. So I wasn't taking it real seriously. I was just going to see if it actually was going to be a thing. And of course, it... It didn't end up being a thing. We never went out. He said, I all of a sudden got sick and can't go out.
Less than 24 hours after he made the date.
Yes. And then, not only that, but he said, we'll reschedule for tomorrow, and then never contacted me the next day. Which I never expected it anyway. I told my mother... Because she asked me if I was still going out with him. I was like, well, I'm not expecting anything. So really, I'm just going to sit at home and wait for him to cancel. I told her that. And I think I even told you, like, it's spotty whether he actually goes out on this date or not. I'm going to go out with him and see how it goes. But I'm not getting my hopes up. And that is why.
That's so dumb.
It's so dumb. I don't understand. Why are you going to make a date and then cancel less than 24 hours later with some crazy made up, in my opinion, I guess we don't know for sure, made up sickness. Why do that? Why not just not make a date?
Maybe he gets some kind of weird high off of getting a date with a girl and then doesn't actually want to go through with it.
I honestly think he just gets cold feet.
Well,
I really honestly think
it's a
really
good way for him to never find somebody to be with.
I was just talking to somebody about how there is no other choice but to online date. It was a guy, and I was asking him, oh, this goes into another story for you. So we were talking about how men don't come up to girls anymore and say, hey, you're really cute. I'd like to take you out. And he said... A lot of it's because you don't know if they're dating somebody already. You don't know if you'll get rejected. And I'm like, but that's the fun of it. I said, if I were to be approached by a man, I would be flattered. Wouldn't you be flattered?
Yeah.
If they did it the proper way?
Yeah. But
I think that would make me want to go out with you more. If you were like, hey, let's go out on a date. You're really cute. Blah, blah, blah.
Well, that's like today I had a driver who... Usually I have drivers that hit on me because I'm a girl. But today I had one. He's like, I really like your profile picture. You're very pretty. And it was a very sweet, kind, and very innocent way for him to tell me that I was pretty and not in a creepy way like usual.
Was he pretty?
I have no idea what he looks like, to be honest. He didn't have his profile picture on his profile thingy.
Darn. Darn. So the guy that mentioned that he doesn't go up to women because it's intimidating, you never know if they've got a girlfriend, blah, blah, blah. He mentioned that the next topic of the week should be nice guys finish last, ... not. And I was like, you know, you're not wrong. That is a really good topic. And I will talk about that. But then in the same breath, decided to use some expletives about a woman's body. And I decided to tell him, well, obviously you're not a nice guy.
Wait,
and
was
you
this
are
pretty
gonna
dude?
Finish last. No, this was another dude that I was talking to for a minute because I decided to get back on stupid Facebook dating to see what was out there. And he said that he had listened to our podcast and wanted to talk to me on the phone. But yeah, he decided to use some expletives about the woman's body, and I'm not here for it. So I made a comment that the fact that he drinks Mountain Dew means his taste buds are messed up. And he made a very rude comment about why they were messed up. And he made an extremely inappropriate joke about why his taste buds were messed up. So yeah, I told him, well, obviously you aren't a nice guy and you are finishing last because we're done here. Because I don't take kindly to people making those kind of jokes.
No, that's very, very not appropriate. In any context, let alone with somebody that you're potentially talking to date. Or talking to potentially date.
And I had already told him, I'm like, I don't want to have any kind of physical relationship with somebody until I know that I care for that person, that person cares for me. And I didn't go really into much. I did tell him that I'm a Christian and that I have decided to want to be in love with somebody before I go down that path, and that it was going to take a long while before I decided to be intimate with somebody ever. So he definitely didn't get that memo.
He just didn't respect it, which is the case with a lot of people, and why a lot of people that come off as being nice guys are not actually nice guys, as nice of a guy as they think they are. Because, like, I've talked to guys before where they were like, oh, yeah, that's fine. I'm okay with that. And they clearly were not, because they kept making sexual innuendos and being highly inappropriate.
And I'm not here looking down on anybody who decides to do whatever with their body that they want to do. That's not my business. That's not my... not my body. But
there's a difference, though. Like, I've heard the argument, well, if you loved me, you would. Okay, well, if you loved me and respected me, then you would understand why I won't. That's a two-way street. Like, and the fact that you don't necessarily lose anything by waiting, but I do lose something by giving it up, is My problem outweighs yours.
Especially in your case. My case, it does kind of affect both parties because you're tied to that person.
Mm-hmm.
You're completely tied to that person. You have an emotional bond with them. And you can't just move on from that very easy. Let me tell you don't move on. It's very hard.
I would say that's the...
especially for a woman.
I was about to say that's the unfortunate part for being a female, because men don't feel things nearly as deeply as we do as females. So if we give a piece of ourselves to the person that we're dating in that regard, it's going to mean a whole lot more to us than it does to them every time.
100%.
At least early in a relationship. Now, when you're married, then it means something for the both of you, or at least it's supposed to mean something for the both of you. But that early in a relationship is just ridiculous. And see, that the guy can come off as being the nicest dude in the world,
mm-hmm,
and make jokes like that, and he instantly becomes not so great.
No. And so he did finish last because that was a no-go for me. Thank you. Especially just talking like that to me. A nice guy doesn't talk that way. It was sickening. Like, my stomach turned.
And see, I've and been talking to people before in a kind of a situationship capacity that love nothing more than to make inappropriate comments. And it's a big turnoff, to be honest. Like, I need to have a conversation with you. And I know guys are capable of having conversations that don't involve sex.
Very much so.
But if they start seeing you in a romantic way, it's like some kind of a trigger switch is in their brain, and all of a sudden, that's the only thing that can come out, and they're a 13-year-old boy again.
It seems like it. But this is our first conversation we've ever had with each other, and to say something like that, disgusting.
Well, see, I think I mentioned something maybe in our first podcast about a dude that I was talking to, and at this point, I just kind of, especially with dating apps, whenever I start talking to a guy, I end up kind of more or less leading with the fact that I'm a virgin, because, you know, guys are after one thing for the most part. Sorry about it, guys. I know a lot of you are not after that, but I have unfortunately not found one yet.
Same.
But, and I don't care if they have had sex. That's not the thing. It's that whether or not they respect me. And I had a conversation with this dude. We'd been talking for maybe 20 minutes. And I asked him what brought him onto a dating website, and he was like, well, I've tried long-distance dating with some people that I used to know where I was from before, but long-distance just doesn't work, so I thought I'd try a dating app to see if there's anybody closer to me. And I'm like, yeah, long-distance relationships really don't work out whenever you're not able to spend quality time with each other. And he said, yeah, and have sex a lot. So I crack my knuckles, and I'm like, okay, here we go. And I'm like, I hate to break it for you, sir. You ain't getting it from me because I am a virgin. And he's like, oh, okay. So we're probably not going to be a thing then, because my sexual appetite is just too strong to have to abstain.
If a guy that I am talking to, if I say, what are you looking for? And they go, well, I'm up for anything. I go, well, what's anything? And they say, a relationship, some fun, dating, just about anything, that is where I end the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Right there. Because if you are telling me that you are up for anything at any point in time, then you are not looking for me, sir, because I'm looking for real. I'm looking for more than just some fun. And
you're looking
that's
for
the end of our conversation.
You're looking for happily ever after. And so, like, I've also noticed, like, guys just saying stuff like, let's just see where it goes. Red flag.
Yeah, no.
I don't Big want to see flag. Where it goes. I want to know that you are committed to finding out whether or not you and I are made to be a thing.
My thing is, I'm 35. I am done seeing where things go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done trying to figure out, you know, if we're compatible as far as, well, I guess, no. I'm just done with the games.
You're done with the games. Because, I mean, a whole lot of dating is technically seeing where things go. But if you're entering into a relationship and they say that, that's a problem.
Well, and then you get guys who 3 months into it, you're like, where are we at in this relationship? And they flip their lid because you ask them something they weren't ready for. And they're like, I just don't know. At 3 months, a man knows. So for me, I guess my question is, how do you tell a guy, I'm not interested in your sexual speak, and I am not interested in anything that you have to offer in that area? And the other issue is to suppress your own needs as far as, so like as a 35, 36 year old woman, at some point you're going to feel the need to be loved in that way. Mm-hmm. However, it's going to take the right person. And obviously that person is not the right person if that's how they're coming to you. But at some point, it's really hard for a woman to be like, nah, it's okay. I mean, I guess if you are divorced and you've been with somebody in that fashion, it's harder. But I mean,
see,
once you've stuck
to it,
capacity,
it's harder for other people to understand, well, you had sex with your husband. Why won't you have sex with me outside of marriage?
Right. They're like, well, you're already damaged. No,
yeah,
I'm not,
I mean,
Skippy.
You're damaged good, so why not further damage it? But that's not how it works, because so many people in today's society have that secular thought process that sex is purely and completely carnal.
And it's definitely not.
If it's with the right person, it's not.
No.
And if it's with the wrong person for a female specifically, it's not. It's still going to have that connotation with that emotion attachment, because women put more emotions into literally everything.
Mm-hmm. And when you have been with a person at that point and you have given into that, you have an attachment to that person emotionally, physically, even spiritually. So you don't move on. It is really hard to move on from somebody that you've been with. So to just be like, all right, and then have to deal with the repercussions later, it's harder for a woman, I feel like. But at some point, isn't it still just as hard for the man?
I don't know. I'm not a man.
I mean, men do it more for the satisfaction. Women do it for the emotion.
Right. And see, that's because men typically feel it more than a female does. I hate saying it this way, but it's harder to pleasure a woman than it is to pleasure a man. Like, you can just look at a man cross-eyed sometimes and poof, there they go.
100%.
But we have to be coaxed. We have to be, you know, we have to be sweet-talked, and we have to be persuaded to even get into that kind of mood in a lot of cases. So it takes us a little bit longer to get our motors wound up.
It's a good way to put it.
And they got an electric start, and they are just boom, go.
Like that push button on the new cars. Don't even have to turn a key anymore. Just boop.
And we are like an old lawnmower that you got a pull start on, and you keep having to choke it, and it still ain't going.
Yeah, it takes a few pulls.
Because like, it's funny though, because they talk about how women that are over 30 are typically in their sexual prime, and then you don't get to have that if you are a 35-year-old virgin, like
right.
myself. And like, oh my God, she's a 35-year-old virgin. No, there's nothing wrong with me. There has not been a man worthy enough that has approached me that I was willing to give that up to.
And that's good. You have the patience of Job.
I also have divine protection from God, I think. Because
I think
that he has purposely kept me from being in situations where I would have to make that choice.
So when you spark that by giving in the first time, it sparks something within you to give in more times than the one time. And then it's just a ripple effect after that.
Well, I mean, it's kind of the same thing as
when you're eating a box of cookies. Well, mm-hmm. I've had one cookie, so why shouldn't I have two cookies?
Well, I've already ruined my virginity. I might as well not That's worry not like about it. I can
lose
it
twice. Yeah, right. It's, and I understand that mentality. Like, I completely do. It's like, especially in this culture where sex is shoved at you at every point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you watch TV and it's there. You watch movies, it's there. You read books, it's there. You read magazines, there's ads that are sexually premised.
We were sitting here watching The Chosen the other night, me and my parents, and an ad come on. And it was this woman just writhing in a chair, looking all sensual. And Mom goes, "Bet it's a perfume ad." And I was like, "I bet you're right." And it was. Because mm-hmm. that's the kind of thing they shove at you all the time.
And see, those kind of ads, they aren't even geared toward women. Like, if it's a female's perfume ad, they are gearing that at a man so that the man will go buy the perfume for the woman.
Oh, that's so smart.
Because he thinks, oh, if I spray her with that perfume, then she'll writhe in a chair like that.
It's a really dumb thought.
It's stupid, but it works. I mean, the same thing with Victoria's Secret. Victoria's Secret... they don't market their underwear to women. They market their underwear with sexy models to men. So men will go buy the underwear for the women because they want their women to look sexy like the models.
Which is funny because a man usually won't be caught dead going into a Victoria's Secret.
Oh, but now this modern day and age.
You can buy it online.
They will order it. And I have seen plenty of men in Victoria's Secret near Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I can see that. But I am not calling anybody out, saying anything about anybody, about anything, period. But lately, I've been like, okay, let's rearrange the mind a little bit. I'm looking for forever. A man who's also looking for forever is not going to proposition you 30 minutes within a date to go back to your place. Is this really a man that I want to bring in to my life? No. Even within the first three dates, it's not a man that I want to bring into my life. So the question is telling a man, hey, I'm not willing to do anything with you until we've made a commitment to each other and we love each other and I know that you're not going away. And Christians would say, not until marriage, period. Yes, I agree with that. I agree with that 100%. And God in the Bible did not tell us don't have sex before marriage because he wants to hurt us and he wants to prevent us from going and having fun. He's doing it for protection. This last relationship that I had ended up me giving in. And even the other day, it's been, gosh, almost a year since I've been with this guy. No, this summer will be a year since I've been with this guy. But I passed his exit and it still made me just sob because I have a connection with that person. I had a love. I was very in love with that person. And the love was not reciprocated like it should have been.
Mm-hmm.
And because I loved him, I gave in. And for other reasons, because I wanted a family, I wanted a baby. My time clock is ticking, so to speak. And when he left and when he broke things off, it wrecked me so bad that I didn't fare well. I did not do well after that at all. I ended up not being able to sleep in my own home, in my own bed. Even just coming in here sent me into a full-blown panic attack. Because it just hurt so bad. And to do that with just anyone, I can't imagine. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine feeling that every time.
Mm-mm. Because we're not supposed to.
Now, it's not to say that I haven't been promiscuous myself, just outing myself here. I had my times of promiscuity. And more times than not, I just felt really bad about myself. In the long run, rather than feeling intimacy or any love toward that person, it was more of like I felt bad about myself. Didn't feel like I was worthy of a real relationship with a real man. And it just hit my pride and my self-esteem harder. So that's the other side of it, is not only do you, if you are with somebody for a long time and being intimate and having sex, it breaks you down emotionally, and but then if you're just out there being sexually active, that is breaking down your self-esteem. Because I feel like if you've only been with somebody like twice or three times and then you cut things off, you're not necessarily going to feel love for that person, especially if it was a really quick thing. But it's also going to hit your personal self-esteem, personal, the way that you view yourself and what you're worthy of. So I should say that it's not always going to result in love and you're going to be connected to that person forever. But yes, you do give a piece of yourself to that person. However, it just yanks down your self-esteem every time.
Mm-hmm. I always think about a skit that they did when I was in high school at church whenever we had Sexual Purity Month or whatever. And it was this long line of chairs. And there were a whole bunch of girls sitting in these chairs. And then there was a girl and a guy. And they were walking and they were having a good time. And they get to the very end of the chairs and there's an empty chair. And the girl hands the fellow her rose. And she sits down in the last chair. Well, the guy takes the rose back to the very beginning of the line and hands it to the first girl. And every girl does something to the rose until it gets back to the girl at the very end. Because you just gave something special to somebody. And they've given something special to a whole lot of other people. Or maybe you've given something special to a whole lot of other people. And what you get back in return is not what you gave them. And that's very much what happened with you, I think. You gave something special to somebody, and he was out for that carnal desire more so than he was for forever after.
It's just not a place that anybody should put themselves into, ever. And once again, I say that God doesn't tell us not to do this stuff because he wants to stifle our fun. It's to protect us and to protect our heart, because he doesn't want to see us sad. He doesn't want to see us broken. He doesn't want to have to pick up all the, I mean, he will, but he doesn't want to have to pick up all those pieces every time and be like, I mean, I told you not to. I told you not to go there. And you're like, I know.
Well, that's because every time we have to pick up the pieces, or every time we have to go to him to pick up the pieces, there's always that one little piece that doesn't get found. That takes a lot of healing to get over. And that's not to say if you are the kind that you just really like to have sex and you don't have any problem with that, that's on you. This is completely and totally our personal opinions from where we've been in our lives. And not a reflection on you. We are not judging anything that you want to do. That's, like I've said 1,000 times before, it's not my place to judge somebody because they sin different than I do.
I put myself out there and said that I was promiscuous a few times in my life, and it did not fare well in my direction. Like, it was bad. So coming from somebody who knows how it is, 100% I can say I'm not judging somebody, because I know how it feels to feel wanted. Because in that moment you feel wanted, but then they'll throw you away real quick. They have absolutely no stock in any bit of it. Like, they are just going out there, they're getting their jollies, and they're heading on out. For women, it's a lot different. So, again, where it either hits your heart or your self-esteem, either way, it's going to hurt, period. So, it's more of a, please don't take the route that I did, because let me tell you, it hurt kind of deal, more than a judgment. Because I know most people, I'm not saying all, most people want their forever. And that's not a way to find it. Not at all.
In our personal opinions. And see, that's something that I cannot make certain people understand, why I won't just go date whatever mm-hmm. I can find to date, because I want to get married. They think because they don't want to be without somebody, and they just will settle for whatever or whoever, that I should do the same thing. So they try to set me up on dates and that I don't want to be set up on, because I don't want the kind of person right. that they would pick out. Because I don't want, if I can't have what God wants for me, I don't want anything. I will be a 85-year-old virgin if I have to be. If the good Lord above does not see fit to send me a man, because my man got lost on his turtle and he went to find Atlantis and he never returned because he got lost in the Bermuda Triangle or something, I don't know. If I never find him, if he has screwed up his life so fundamentally because he didn't have the strength to wait for me, then I don't want anybody, because I don't want to pick the wrong person.
I feel like God would change the direction for you and for whoever you're supposed to be with, because he knows what's going to happen and he knows the choices that are going to be made. So he's not going to let you sit in that, I feel like.
I know there is absolutely nothing that we can do to deviate us from the plans that God has for mm-hmm. us. But at the same time, I think, okay, but what if we do something that is so completely asinine that we ruin our shot with the person?
He'll bring somebody else around.
And see, that's where I think, like, soulmates is kind of the wrong
yeah.
way to go. Or maybe that there are maybe multiple soulmates that people can have.
I just feel like God makes a certain amount of people for a certain amount of people. And no matter what you do, because God's plans are contingent on what you do. And if you sway the other way, he's going to find a way to either bring you back, or he's going to find another person on the road that you're on. And like you said, soulmates, maybe not, but I feel like he makes...
If there's even such a concept.
I don't know.
I mean, that's probably a man-made concept that we don't really even...
I mean, I feel like there is a certain type of soulmate where your person will mesh with their person perfectly.
Because he's already accounted for every kind mm-hmm. of deviation or mistake that you might make along the way, because he's God. He sees... everything. Yes. He knows the past, the present, and the future. He created us with a divine purpose. And he knows exactly where on this planet that my future husband and that your future husband are lost mm-hmm. riding on their respective turtles.
My little ditz of a human husband. Bless his heart in all the ways that you can bless one's heart.
I know, maybe one of them's riding on a corgi and it's got zoomies.
Maybe they're riding together. You think that? Maybe they're just like out there roaming. And they're lost.
They won't stop for directions because they're men.
Of course not. Of course not. So get to asking for directions, sirs. Get to asking. No, I'm in agreement with you. I believe that I was not ready for my future husband. You were not quite ready for your future husband, and they weren't ready for us. God had to prepare us all for each other, and eventually mm-hmm. we will not ruin each other and be able to live the happily ever after that we want, because we have fixed certain things in our lives that God wanted fixed before he put these two humans together. You told me that story, and my jaw was on the floor, and I was like, man, I know you can't see it when it's happening sometimes, or mm-hmm. you just kind of try to ignore it a little bit. But I was like, man, I wish, you know, she had seen that way ahead of time and been like, oh, But sometimes it doesn't work that way.
You know, the only thing I saw at that particular moment in time was that he was flirting with me. And I liked it because I ain't getting any younger.
Right.
And it's nice to have somebody flirt with me and tell me I'm beautiful and whatever.
And your emotions get in the way sometimes and it clouds things. So I can totally
see. And maybe
see.
I just, some part of me wanted to know what it felt like for a guy to flirt with me inappropriately.
You've never experienced it, so maybe. But it was just the beginning factor
right.
of knowing what happened. And I guess maybe you were like, oh, well, okay. And you maybe pushed that in the back of your head.
Mm-hmm.
But knowing that from an outsider looking in, I'm like, oh, that would have been strike number three. He didn't even get the first two strikes. He got strike number three right at that point. And we are gone, buddy. We are gone.
Well, I mean, he didn't know that he never actually had a chance to get out of the dugout. Because
like,
that train would have never left the station. It just would not have happened.
Right. But like you said, it was the attention. And sometimes when you haven't been with somebody and somebody's giving you attention, you don't look at all of the things that you should be looking at. And I can, for one, level with that.
Mm-hmm.
100%, because there is no reason that I should have fallen in love with the dude that I fell in love with last year either, with everything that he presented. The last dude that I was talking to, with who he was as a person just in general, you saw it, and I was like, no, he's a nice person. You're like, he's really not. You need to back off and never ever touch that with a 10-foot pole. And I was like, no, he's really nice. Nope. I was trying to see the good out of a really ugly picture. And I think that's maybe what you did too.
Maybe just loneliness to a degree as well.
Same here.
Because I don't look for the good in people.
I feel like you
because
do.
I really don't. Like, we had a situation, my mom and I, the other day, we were grocery shopping, and she had a little roll-around buggy because she had just finished her chemotherapy not too long before that. And right after chemotherapy, you have steroids whenever they're giving you chemotherapy, and then you have, like, this all of this energy. And then when we actually went to go grocery shopping, her energy had worn down, so she got the little cart. And we rolled past this dude, and he was like, oh, look at your cart. Mine's dead. And he was sitting there. It still had, like, one little bar of battery. He could absolutely have gotten to the front. And my mom tries to see the best in everybody. She wants to be a loving and kind person to everybody. But this dude took all of his stuff before we even knew what happened. Like, first of all, they were sitting there talking. And my mom will stop and she will talk to somebody forever and a day. And kind of witness to them. Because she praises God in her sickness the way that you're supposed to. Like, we're not supposed to just praise God whenever something good's going on. We're supposed to praise him whenever we're down in the dirt with the dogs. And she was, you know, witnessing to this man. And I had asked a question to the butcher that was standing by the cooler. Because Passover's coming up and she wanted to do possibly a lamb chop or something. So I was asking, hey, do y'all have lamb chops? And I went over to say something to her like, hey, come on, we got to go. Because I had to pee, okay? I had to go potty. And they had the bathroom door locked and I could not go potty there. I was trying to get my stuff and get out of the door, okay? And this man, with his little self, had the audacity to tell me, cut me off while I was trying to get her to come on and say, hey, we're having church here. I'm like, excuse you, sir? But I was nice. I didn't say nothing. And then the next thing you know, this man is getting up out of his buggy and walking all around the store, putting his stuff in our cart, thinking that we were going to buy his groceries. He had probably $50 or $60 worth of groceries. And I told my mom, I'm like, do not pull up into the cart, the register. You park out away from it. I'm going to put my stuff I'm going to put his stuff on the register, and then we're going to get the crap out of here. We had a lady that had walked past us a couple of times, and maybe she was an angel, I don't know. But she warned me, and she said, hey, I seen his type around here before. He's going to try to get you to buy those groceries. And I'm like, I was thinking the exact same thing myself. And then I saw her again, and she asked me, hey, did you find those cookies you were looking for? So that I would kind of stop and talk to her a little bit. And she's like, okay, what's the situation? And I'm like, he absolutely is fixing to get us to buy these groceries. We're taking him to the register now, and I'm going to put him on the register, and then we're going to go away. And I put all of his stuff on the register. And he was like, wait, you ain't going to help me pay for it? And I'm like, dude, I don't even have enough money to pay for my own groceries hardly, let alone pay for yours. And when we got finished, we had bought $85 worth of groceries, and I had $89 in my bank account.
Well,
just so that we could eat for a week.
A lot of that's discernment, too. Like, you have to have absolute discernment.
Yeah. And see, my mom, she wants to give everybody the benefit of the doubt and love on everybody. And it really kind of woke her up to the fact that she gives everybody the benefit of the doubt so much, to the fact that maybe she's trusting the wrong people.
Right. And she even said that to me the other day. She said, I think I had a wake-up call.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she absolutely did. But I don't trust anybody. Because where I have been in life, it has shown me that people need to prove themselves to me before I'm going to trust you. So for me to have talked to the guy that I did in the way that I did was completely out of character for me.
Is it maybe because you thought that, well, I've been doing it this way for so long, let's try a different way?
Maybe, but I mean, it was also because, you know, he and I had been friends for a few years. And there was some kind of trust factor there with that, maybe a little bit, but not to the degree that it needed to be.
No. I'm really glad that you got yourself out of that.
Well, the fact that we went from having these wonderful, you know, long conversations as friends that were, you know, deep and meaningful even, to him just completely and totally sexualizing every little thing.
Yeah.
Was so inappropriate. And it was, they were absolutely red flags. There were red flags, sirens, bells, bing bongs, red lights, everything that you can imagine going off. And I knew they were there. And I was just like, whatever. He can't hurt me. He's not going to do anything to me because I'm not going to do anything to him, because he is on the USS or the RMS Titanic. And I'm on the Love Boat over here. Like, go away. We ain't crashing into no iceberg. He is, but I am not.
It's crazy that he could keep up that persona for so long and then all of a sudden switch, like a flip of a switch, like completely just boop. He's totally different now.
Well, I mean, and that's when life does him a reality check, and he has to deal with his real life and not just like his cell phone life. I mean,
you can cell be phone life you is want on cell phone
different
life.
Yeah,
but
and when he did, I was just like, okay, bye.
I'm glad you got yourself there. Out of that, because
I will erase you from my memory. We are done here.
Well, and it, like we talked about the other day, I feel like God was preparing you for that anyway, because he brought you and I back together. He gave you purpose in different things. Just a lot of stuff changed for the better, which softened the blow of that person not being there anymore.
Right. And in, at the same time, in bringing you back to me, I've learned so much more appreciation for you as a human being and as a friend, because you and I can have those conversations that I can't have with anybody else.
I love you, and I'm glad that we can.
And I'm fixing to cry.
I can tell. But you cry more than me now.
I literally could not have conversations like you and I can have. I mean, and our conversations are literally the reason that we talked about, even joked about having a podcast. Because we literally have these conversations anyway, so mm-hmm. why not do a podcast and let the rest of the world listen?
We've had these conversations our whole friendship, but they weren't mm-hmm. quite this open and honest, because I don't think either of us knew how open and honest that we could even be for each other's feelings. And now I feel like we've navigated how to appropriately approach each other and each other's feelings to where we can have conversations like this and be communicative and not step on one another's nerves, feelings, or whatever else.
But yeah, I never realized how much I needed these conversations, mm-hmm. how much I missed these conversations until we started having them again.
It's kind of funny because we have this one conversation like once every 5 years. This one conversation. And
we always learn something new that we didn't know before.
Every time we're like, oh, I didn't know that. And I'm like, he didn't discuss that? And you're like, no. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Well, we learn something new every time. So, no, there's this one conversation that we have, and we revisit it every 5 years or so. And it's just kind of funny because it's just kind of in the back of our minds, I feel like. And we're like, you know, this didn't set well with me. And you're like, yeah, it really didn't. And then we talk about it and we're like, oh, that happened? Yeah, that happened. So it's just kind of interesting. Our conversations are very intelligent most of the time. Sometimes they're not, but
sometimes they're absolutely not.
Sometimes they're very...
sometimes I talk like Stitch. What are you talking about?
Sometimes they're very well put together thoughts, and we figured, hey, other people could benefit from this because not everybody has somebody to talk to.
I mean, you're expected, especially our age people, you are expected to have found the love of your life by the time you're 21 years old, and by the time you're 35, have 4 kids. And it doesn't work that way for some people.
Right.
And I know several people that are my age that are not married, that have never been married, and that, as far as I know, have never been in a really serious relationship.
So basically, the idea of all of this, as I've said 100 times before, it's about prioritizing yourself and prioritizing your feelings and prioritizing you and what you need and not giving in. Period. And not letting a man like just railroad you.
Or a woman. I mean, that happens both ways.
It does. Because there are some women out there who don't get emotional about that kind of thing. And they're just out there spreading their cookies to everybody. I mean, if somebody's making you uncomfortable or pressuring you, that's a big red flag.
Right. Like, yes is yes, no is no, maybe is also no.
Maybe is, I feel pressured, please don't ask me again.
Maybe is, I don't want to say no to you because I like you and I'm afraid that you're going to dump me if I say no. So I'm going to say maybe, but I don't really want to. That's what it is.
Yeah. But on that note, we will discuss further topics of this sort next week and the weeks prior and the weeks following. And I feel like our topics are going to get a little more on the heavier side of things, because we can't always talk about bad dates. Yeah,
We have so many. Well, you do. I don't date anymore because dating sucks and I'm scared of them. I'm scared of dates, not men.
Eventually, I can match make you.
No.
Okay. Never. Maybe. Did you say maybe? That was also a no. See, there you go. That is a no. I have taken the hint.
That maybe is actually a maybe. I don't know.
Anyway, until next week, we'll say bye. Bye.
Bye.
Hello, beautiful souls. My name is Abigail Gagnon, and I am the host of the Beautiful Legacy podcast. It can be found on all podcast platforms. We can also be found on Instagram, beautiful_legacy, as well as Threads. I love hosting a podcast. I love being able to talk about all things growth, self-development, mental and chronic illnesses, as well as what kind of legacy we all want to leave. Why do we want to leave it? I have special guests in almost every single episode, and I also share some of my own stories, my own wisdom. And I just love being able to hear from the listeners, hear what they want to hear, be able to talk about all kinds of topics. And it just has been such a fun journey. And I hope that you come along for the ride.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of Fairy Fails. If you do enjoy this podcast, please consider following and rating us on any of your favorite podcast platforms. We greatly appreciate it. If you'd like more information on any of our social media platforms, you can head on over to our website at fairyfailspod.com, where you can find links to any of our social medias, fun information about your favorite Fairy Fail hosts, and if you'd like to become a supporter of the podcast, you can do so at our website. It's just $5 a month to support the podcast with that subscription. You will receive bonus content, bloopers, and even a monthly call with your hosts of the show. Once again, we thank you for listening and we hope to hear from you soon.